America Weekend.
Welcome back to America Weekend. I'm Ed Kalegi. My next guest is one of the most ardent victims' rights advocates and anti-crime activists in American history. He is the creator of America's Most Wanted and today is the anchor of the investigative documentary series The Hunt, which is beginning its third season on CNN. It is an honor to be able to share some airtime with John Walsh. John, welcome to the show.
Ed, thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure to have you on. Season 3 of The Hunt. Tell us all about it.
Well, I know you know that I did America's Most Wanted for 25 years, 51 shows a year. Was an honor to do it. We caught over 1,200 guys, recovered 61 missing kids alive. It was an incredible run, but I spent most of that 25 years away from home, so I thought I'll hang up my spurs. So at the urging of the new president of CNN, Jeff Zucker, and the FBI and the U.S. Marshals said, you got to come out. So we're on season three. We've had a terrific run. Started off the first show I did. We caught a child molester that had been on the run for 3 years. And a viewer said he was in a smoke shop in Manhattan. You might have heard about it. The three cops went in to take him down. He shot all three of the cops. Fortunately, they survived.
Right.
Shot him 14 times. That was a hell of a way to launch a new show. But we had a terrific capture this week. Christopher Ponce is a guy I've been looking for since season one. He's been out there 4 years, spoiled, entitled little punk. And 10 traffic violations, reckless driving, three multiple DUIs. Family lets him use a car for the 9th million time. He has suspended license, and he goes out and kills a young man, 23-year-old young man named William Angel, paralyzes the passenger in the car, who is an Afghan British war hero, and somehow they convince the judge on a $50,000 bond, that's $5,000 cash, that this creep can live at home with an ankle bracelet on. And of course, it comes time for the trial, and he cuts his ankle bracelet off.
Oh, my.
And so, on the run. And the judge had said, the judge had said, well, you refused to take the toxicology report, so I'm going to let you go home with the ankle bracelet. And if the tox report comes back and you were drunk, you're going to jail.
Right.
The tox report came back, said he was twice the legal limit. The judge got so much criticism that he recused himself from the case, but he never went back to jail. So what did he do? He ran. We got some great tips on the reruns of this was season one 2 years ago. We got some great tips. He was in Spain. The U.S. Marshals and our partners, Interpol, always put my cases on the red list.
Mm-hmm.
And wouldn't you know, some Spanish cops spotted him in a bus station 2 days ago. I got to call up the family, fathers like I am, father of a murdered child, say, look, it'll be probably 7-8 months before he's back here. The trial will be a nightmare and torture, but you'll get justice. So it was a great start of this week. This Sunday, we start season three. And again, I picked out one of my most wanted, a guy named Alfonso, nicknamed Pancho, mm-hmm. Diaz Juarez. He's a human trafficker of little girls. He kidnaps teenage girls in Mexico. The last one he smuggled across the border. He's also a coyote. He's a professional smuggler.
Right.
So he rapes this girl, impregnates her. She has the baby while she's working in his brothel in Houston. Big, big port of entry for sex trafficking of kids. And she won't go back to work. He kidnaps the baby from where she tried to hide the baby, gave it to a relative, forces her back to work, gets caught, and guess how much time he serves in a Houston jail?
Not much.
3 years. Kidnapping, rape, kidnapping a second time of the baby. So anyway, he gets out. He starts up again. You know it, Ed. They all do the same thing.
Sure.
They do the only thing they know. So he's running work with a lady, madam, a big brothel in Houston that the police authorities there believe made about $9 million over a four-year period. They catch every one of the 13 people that are running the brothel except Pancho. He's on the run, knows how to get back and forth into the country. All he's ever done is grab young girls because they lock them in rooms. And on the show, we have three of those girls that are willing to testify against mm-hmm. them, terrified. I have their faces in black. that they personally locked these girls in the rooms, and they had to service about 30 guys a night.
Wow.
If you can imagine being a 14-year-old girl, you know, thinking you're going to go to America to work as a maid in Ritz-Carlton, and now you're a sex slave in a brothel. I mean, this is a bad guy. So Ed, I'm hoping he's going down on Sunday night.
Let's hope so. You know, I have long admired your work. You rebounded from an unspeakable personal tragedy. Of course, everyone knows the murder of your son, and you've created this amazing, positive, and powerful force. Where do you get your personal resolve from?
Well, I'll tell you, I had a wonderful mentor as a father. He's a World War II war hero. He left Notre Dame. You know, my grandparents all came from Ireland. We're all relatives of immigrants. And he was this wonderful guy, and I had a wonderful mother. I was one of those lucky guys that have two phenomenal parents. My dad won 15 medals in World War II, Distinguished Flying Cross. He was a B-24 bomber captain and went the whole war. And I had this role model, and he always used to say, he always had the same saying. He said that evil prevails when good men do nothing. And he was just that kind of guy. So I named Adam after him. My son, my father's name was Adam Walsh, and I named Adam after that. So I had a great inspiration, and he always used to say, go down swinging. If you're going down, go down swinging. So my wife and I, as you know, I was a hotel builder. I had the American dream in South Florida. I was building, my three partners and I were building a $26 million hotel on Paradise Island. I had the beautiful home in Hollywood, Florida, near Fort Lauderdale. I had all the American material success you could possibly want. Mm-hmm. Had gone to private schools. And then all of a sudden, my son is kidnapped by a horrible, it took 27 years to solve Adam's case.
Right.
But to make a longer story out of your question, I was so angry and so heartbroken. The FBI refused to enter Adam's case. The Hollywood police at the time were so incompetent, made so many mistakes, that I became that angry guy that started, you know, storming through the halls of Congress and, you know, trying to say, look, if we didn't get any help. Nobody's helping us find who killed Adam. Nobody knows who killed him, and it took us 27 years to reopen the case. It was just a way to keep from dying of a broken heart, to give you the answer, Ed. And my wife started the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children out of our garage, mm-hmm. responding to the 40,000 letters that the post office dumped at our doorstep of people asking for help in finding their runaway child, their non-custodial parental abduction, where the ex-parent took the kid and hasn't been seen for 10 years. It was overwhelming. I mean, I don't think anybody knew of the level of exploitation of children in America. So it was the way that I think we kept from dying of broken hearts. He was our first child. We're still married. We have three grown children since Adam, and then my first grandchild. But it was a way to fight back and to try not to lose your sanity, because it is probably the worst thing that can happen to someone is have your child abducted and decapitated.
And people could say they understand, but they don't unless they've been through that. But I'm thinking right now of things like Code Adam, which began at Walmart. So many positive things that came out of this awful, terrible event. How does it make you feel all these years later that not only are you making a difference, but actually Adam is making a difference through you and your work as well? That has to be such a motivating force as well.
It is such a tribute to that beautiful, loving, kind little boy. I mean, I always said he was an old soul. But so many people have helped us. You know, the last five presidents have been fantastic. Ronald mm-hmm. Reagan helped me battle the FBI and force them into the business of looking for missing children. And now we're partners. I mean, I admire the FBI, but I hated them in 81 when they didn't enter Adam's case.
Sure.
And now, we work together. I caught 17 guys off the FBI's top 10, their 10 most wanted, in those 25 years. So a lot of people have saddled up and helped us over the years. And I, you know, I look, I... my three grown children I look at them and they always say they wish they had met Adam because of how we talk about what a beautiful little boy he was. But every child is a beautiful child. And it's just, I was raised in one of those families that was taught to respect women and to love and nurture children. Mm-hmm. So I believe that if you have the ability to speak up and do something, then you have that obligation to do it.
And you are fulfilling that obligation in a tremendous way for decades, and it continues on season 3 of The Hunt. It can be seen on CNN. John Walsh, thank you so much for joining us here on America Weekend.
I appreciate you having me, Ed. Thank you.
Have a good day. Well, there he goes, folks. You know, this man suffered the most unspeakable of tragedies. This man's child was brutally murdered. And for him to be able to take that and turn it into a positive such as this, his wife started the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and look at the work he's done on America's Most Wanted and now on this new series. He walks the walk, he talks the talk. Stay with us. More to come. I'm Ed Kalecki, and this is America Weekend from the Envision Radio Network.
America Weekend!
Fake Green, Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
If you're an inventor who would like to attempt to have your idea or invention patented and submitted to industry, call InventHelp. They have free information for you. Call 1-800-405-9878. That's 1-800-405-9878.
Big Success in a Minute with George and Mary Lynn.
Follow your passion is bad advice, says William McCaskill, an ethicist at Oxford and Princeton.
Instead, he suggests, do something valuable. Research shows you'll be happier at work if what you do makes a difference in the lives of others.
Further research shows that the bigger the difference you feel you make, the better you'll perform. Better performance, of course, likely leads to better pay.
So where do you start? Stop trying to find yourself. It's too abstract. Stop fighting for money, fame, power, and status. There's too much competition. Instead, find a problem you can solve.
Then people will help you as you make a difference in the lives of others. That's Big Success.
Find Big Success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.